Tonight I want to deal with apostolically. I want to talk about a little bit tonight about the words that Apostle gave us for the new year, which is massive production. Praying today, the Lord, and over the last couple of weeks, you know, I've been asking the Lord, what must I do to receive massive production and to participate in it? And today, just today, I've been praying for about 2 weeks. Today, he gave me three things. If you need a title, it's the three things I must do to receive massive production and avoid massive destruction. Now, of course, I'm very thankful for the apostolic, and I'm very thankful for government, in that it's easy to find where you belong. When you're in an apostolic church, it's easy for you to find where you belong, not just in the church, but where you belong in life. When you decide to line up with, align properly to what God has already been thinking about you, everything becomes easier. Your job becomes easier. Family life becomes easier. Just life becomes easier. Even challenges become easier. The challenges may be tough, but the way you handle it becomes easier. And so one of the things that is done for me is, because I understand my place in the apostolic, I love revelation knowledge. And because I understand my place, I find that I get more revelation knowledge off of what Apostle is saying than trying to get my own revelation. So therefore, when I come and I step and he said, okay, Leroy Jr., I want you to take tonight or whatever. When I come, I'm able to bring revelation that will help us as a family walk even in a clearer path to what Apostle is trying to get us to do. So tonight, these three things I will deal with, we won't be long. I hope you take good notes. Some of it, I gave the notes to them late in the back, so some of it may be up, some of it may not be up. But number one, you must take heed to Apostles' call to fasting and praying. Not just praying, fasting and praying. You must take the heed to that call. Here's why. The word for the prophecy for the new year for us as an apostolic house was massive production. The words come, the prophecy comes from God, but it comes through Apostle Thompson. So now, if the words come from God through Apostle Thompson, then whatever Apostle Thompson has been teaching us is going to give us the ammunition to walk out that prophecy. So that means if I decide to ignore or not fast, that means I won't be able to walk in massive production, because I can't take instructions, I can't take apostolic instructions from God and try to apply them the way I want to apply them. That never works. The Bible doesn't talk about it, but I know there were some people in Egypt, some children of Israel, some Jews that was in Egypt that did not put the blood over their doorposts. The Bible don't talk about it. But I know there was some. How I know there was some? Because we people. We humans. There was some that didn't do it. But the word for that particular apostolic house or apostolic people came from God through Moses on what to do. Because God was getting ready to do something in Egypt and he wanted to protect his people. So my point for saying that is, you cannot expect massive production in your life if you do not adhere to Apostles' call to fasting and praying. That's right. There's a reason he began to talk about, it's a reason why God alerted him, or the reason why God made him alive or quickened him to fasting. He's always been a prayer. But now God has added on fasting, which is specific instructions for this house. So at some point in your life, you're going to have to, you're going to have to make a decision that I'm going to fast and pray. Now, what's the purpose? Why? Well, Apostle been talking to us about it, but go to Mark 9, verse 29. Watch this. We know it's the father with the son who had a dumb and deaf spirit, and he tried to bring him to the disciples. The disciples couldn't do nothing with him. Jesus say, bring him to me. And that's where he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then the father said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And then Jesus cast the spirit out. The disciples off to the side asked Jesus, why we wasn't able to do that? Why weren't we not able to do that? And Jesus, watch this. Watch what Jesus answered. And he said, verse 29, and he said unto them, this kind can only come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. So Jesus said, I was able to deal with this spirit because I'm not only praying, but I'm fasting also. So let's take your situation. There's some things in your life that you're facing that you've been confessing about. You've been speaking against, you've been praying about, but it seems like they don't want to move. Well, if you want massive production in your life, then you're going to have to heed to apostles' call of fasting and praying. If we don't do these things, then certain things that we face in our life will not move. They won't go anywhere. Because we won't massive production, so we have to adhere to the apostolic instructions of fasting and praying. Watch this. Fasting and praying makes you focus on the inside more than the outside. Here's what fasting does. The apostle told us that fasting helps us to afflict our soul. I didn't know the word. I didn't know the whole meaning of the word afflict. Because he asked me one time, he said, "What does afflict mean?" I thought afflict mean, something bad gonna happen to you. That's what I thought. Until he showed me a scripture where David afflicted his soul. So I said, "Man, I ain't gonna impose no pain on myself." So that can't be all what that means. What it actually means is to humble. All right, remember Apostle talks about that. Remember, it means to humble. To afflict means to humble. So we have to afflict our soul or humble our soul. Watch this. When we humble ourselves through fasting, it gives the potter the quickest way to mold and shape you. It gives the potter. Who is the potter? Come on, I'll say it with confidence. Who's the potter? God. God is the potter. It gives the potter the quickest way to mold and shape you. Now, we're going to be molded and shaped. But when you add fasting to praying, it gives him the quickest way to do it. Why? Because you have to decide under your own volition that I'm going to break my soul down. I don't know what I need to know. God, teach me what I need to know. I made that decision. So when I make the decision, I come contrite and God is able to do a quick work with me. Rather than taking a chisel. Now, you see these potters, the potters, and they got the spinning wheel, right? They got the clay and they got the water and they sitting there, all they're doing, the wheel is just spinning and they're not doing much effort. They just putting their hands there and shaping it like they want. As compared to a sculptor who had to take a chisel with a piece of rock and beat on it. Well, when you fast while as you pray, you become clay so God can quickly mold you. But if you don't fast and you don't afflict your soul, God has to chisel away at your soul before he get to your spirit. Does that make sense? So fasting gives, now we're going somewhere, fasting gives God the quickest way to mold and shape you. See, God has got to mold and shape you. I'm getting hit. All right, go to Galatians 6 and 9. Galatians 6 and 9, we'll come back. Galatians 6 and 9. Now, we're going to see a word in this particular verse that we have defined based on our, I'm trying to find, we sometimes we define words based on where we are in life. Not based on what the word actually means, but based on how the word has been used previously. For instance, we give you an example. When we hear the word gay now, but the original meaning of gay is, but nowadays you can't go around unless you're around the right people talking about I'm gay. So because of our current culture, there's certain words that's been defined a certain way, so we lose the original meaning of that word. Well, we're going to find a word in this particular scripture that because of our current culture, we've lost the true definition of this word. All right, watch this. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. That word due does not mean what you think it means. It does not mean a set time. See, this is why I'm emphasizing point one so much about fasting and praying. Because when you find out what the word do mean, you're going to realize that a lot of stuff you could have had you could have had already. Because fasting and praying allows the potter the quickest way to shape and mold us. Because if the potter, see, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. That means God has already thought out and made provisions for every decision that we make, everything that we want, God has already made provisions for. All right? But the problem is God is not going to allow us to get something that we're not ready for. You know that scripture said he won't put on you more than you can bear? That's not just negative, that's positive too. That's just not, he ain't gonna put you in a situation that you can't handle. He ain't gonna give you no stuff that'll drive you crazy. So fasting and praying allows me to be shaped and molded in the quickest way so I can receive everything that God has already planned for me to have. All right? So this word do does not mean a set time. Because we so used to paying bills and we have due dates. We have a tendency to think that do it means a set time. But the word do originally in the Greek actually means personal. Ownership. So if we read that scripture the way it's supposed to be read, watch this. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in my season I will reap if I faint not. So if my season, if a season is controlled on me, my reaping season is controlled on me, then I want to find the quickest way to be molded and shaped. Is this making sense? So if I allow, see, this is why massive production. I want massive, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Massive production is going to have to be a relative word, a relative word. Other words, a word relative to you. See, massive production for one person might not be the same massive production for somebody else. So what happens is the enemy will try to come in and show you somebody else's massive production, and then you try to get that massive production. Not even knowing if you really want that massive production or you want some other type of massive production. So this is why the scripture is important. Be not weary well doing. Watch this. For in due season, in my season, I will reap if I faint not. My season, meaning when it's my time. I'm owning my time. How do I own my time? I own my time by fasting and praying. Because now I let the Holy Spirit mold me and shape me so my season can come. So my season not going to come when your season comes. Your season ain't going to come when mine comes. So I can't go around looking at everybody's seasons. Are you seeing this? So we got to adhere to apostles' call for us to fast and pray. Because without fasting and praying, there can be no molding. Well, there will be molding, but it's going to be rough. Things that you could have changed on your own, God might have to use somebody else to speak in your life to change it. See, when you fasting and praying, ain't too many people got to tell you nothing. Because you're in the holies of holies. You're in the throne room. You have put your soul in check. You've afflicted your soul. So any ugly ways that you have, any malfunctioning thought process that you have, the Holy Spirit will help you eliminate them. But you can choose not to fast and pray and be like rock, and then we got to chisel it from you. Chiseling, y'all know sculpting take longer than molding. The molecular form of rock and stone is different than that of clay. So I'd rather be clay, not stone. So I don't want God to be using no chisel on me. I want him to use his hands. I want God's hand on me. Is this making sense? So if I want massive production in my life, now, massive production, you're going to have to define massive production. You're going to have to define it. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you what?
The desires
of your heart. You cannot, watch this, you cannot have massive production by using some other set of instruction or rules. You can't look at the world system for massive production. You don't know how they got it. You don't know what they did to get it. You don't know what laws they broke to get it. You don't know how many people they manipulated to get it. We can't do those things. So I'm gonna have to let God mold me and shape me so I can walk into this massive production. This is not something I have to fight for. This is not something that I'm going to have to take from somebody else. This massive production that God has spoken into our lives through our apostle, God predestined it already for us to walk into. But he cannot let us walk into it if it's going to make us walk away from him. So that's why I have to fast and pray so that I can let the quickest way for God to mold me and shape me. All right, you see that? We ain't got but two left. That was one. We ain't got but two left. Y'all can look at the clock. We ain't gonna be alone. It's better to humble yourself than to let God humble you. Remember the clay and the rock. Clay, the potter uses his hand, but God will turn into a sculptor on you. If you got to use a chisel. Number two, this one is, and all these are going to point back to number one, fasting and praying. Because once I fast and pray, as I consistently fast and pray, whether it's you do it once a week or whether you do it twice a week or whether you might take a certain time out of the month to fast or however God leads you to do it or whenever apostle calls a fast for us to adhere to or to follow, whenever you do that, the purpose of the fast is for you to look on the inside more than you do on the outside. Because all of your answers for massive production is where? They're not on the outside. As in the words of Montreal, if I'm going to move forward, I'm going to have to be looking on the inside. Because I have so many outside forces trying to hold me back. So fasting puts me in a position to where I can look on the inside more than the outside. What it means to look on the inside? It means I can hear God clearer. It means I can recognize God. See, when you're fasting and praying, again, I want to read it. Fasting and praying. When you're fasting, that means you're cutting most of the outside world off. So that means I don't do no, when I'm fasting, I ain't going to eat with nobody. I'm not going to communicate with nobody that won't go eat. I ain't doing that. So I'm in me carrying out my day-to-day business here at the church. If I have to meet with somebody on a day I'm fasting, we gonna meet somewhere where we ain't eating. Because most meetings sometimes happen over lunch. No, we're not doing that. When I'm fasting, I'm not watching a Blacklist. Now I call myself out. That's my show. I'm not watching Blacklist. I'm not watching any of that stuff. When I'm fasting, Chantel and I are not having relations. Real. Why? Because the purpose of the fast is to break my soul down and break my flesh down so that God can get to my spirit and shape the most important part of me so that my spirit comes out stronger and is able to tell the soul what it's going to do and the soul then can tell the flesh what it's going to do. Because that's called shaping and molding. Because I want the quickest way to get to where God has planned for me. Are you seeing this? So number two, that leads me to number two. I don't want to spend all this time fasting and praying and getting deeper in the spirit only to have vain, pointless, ain't going to make us better conversations. I have to stay away from vain, pointless, ain't going to make us better conversations. That means what type of conversation that is. That's a conversation that talks about people, places, events, or things that don't add to you. I just come out from fasting and praying. I just been molded. I ain't about to let nobody else mold me. Now, don't y'all get all super spiritual on me when I say this. If you want to talk about the red carpet at the Oscars and what they had on, stuff like that, because you like fashion, that's cool. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when you go to talk about people, and when you talk about somebody, it ain't doing nobody no good. You're just breaking them down. When you're talking about events, events that I ain't got no business being at, let alone being at, I ain't got no even business talking about it. Because if I talk about it, I'm going to want to go. Talking about anything that does not add. And this is a hard thing to do because you can easily slip into these conversations. Sometimes you're dragged into these conversations. And so you got to learn how to drag yourself out of them conversations. See, as I fast and pray, here's the way I think. And some of y'all might be a little more spiritual than me. Here's how I think. I don't sacrifice not eating. Not watching TV, not having sex. I'm going to sacrifice all that so that God can mold me. And you think I'm going to let some of the stupid conversation that you're going to have bring me out of that? No, no. It's too big of a price I paid to get this ear that God is talking to me for you to come and start gossiping about somebody or talking about some place or talking about this that don't even add, that's not adding to me. It's not making me better. Mm-mm. Are you seeing this? Miriam got into trouble with God because she criticized Moses' wife. Now, how in the world do you think she was able to criticize Moses' wife? Because she started having conversations about Moses' wife with other people that she shouldn't have had that conversation with. That's all racism is. Racism is one group of people talking about the differences of another group of people and how they don't like it. So if they stop having them frivolous conversations, there'll be no racism. It's that simple. It's one race of people get together in a little group and talk about the weaknesses or what they don't like or what they wish they had from another group of a race of people. And so it builds up animosity and hatred. From a vain, pointless, ain't gonna make us better conversation. So I choose to stay away from those conversations. I do this on purpose, especially because I'm a minister. I don't publicly talk about politics with nobody. Listen, it has nothing to do with right or wrong. It has nothing to do with which side right and which side wrong. It has nothing to do with it. Because every man and every woman in this room got the right to believe and choose how they and feel the way they want to feel. That's freedom. We may not agree on some things, but I'm not about to let something as frivolous, yes, I said it, as politics interfere with my witness to that person. Whether you are conservative, whether you're a liberal, whether you're Democrat, whether you're Republican, they all got to be born again. That's the way I feel. So I ain't about to let that, something I say, some of my personal feelings. I have some personal feelings, but I ain't about to let them personal feelings get in the way of Jesus Christ and him crucified. So if it ain't going to make us better, we ain't talking about it. I ain't getting them conversations about how people don't like Trump. I'm not getting the conversation. I'm not getting the conversation. He president, period. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So ain't no sense in getting that conversation. Because all that conversation, what's that conversation going to do? That conversation going to start generating emotions, and thought processes that the Holy Spirit has been trying to mold and shape out of us. I have to stay away from conversations that are pointless, vain, and ain't gonna make us no better. That's used politics, but it's any conversation. You know, any conversation that ain't gonna make you no better, I'm not talking about not talking about football. You can talk about football. I talk about football all the time. I like talking about football. I like it. I enjoy myself. I get enjoyment out of talking about football. That ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about anytime you start talking and having a conversation that tears you down or it puts you in a position to accept information that stops you from getting to massive production. Because the reason why I'm fasting and praying. See, here's this statement. I'm so focused on my success that I don't have time to focus on your failures. I'm so focused on success. I don't have time to conversate about anybody's failure. I don't have time to focus on nobody's failure. Because if you take time to concentrate and talk about somebody else's failure or shortcoming, then it might creep up on me because now it's getting in my mindset. Now remember, I just did all this fasting and praying. I ain't got time to come out and be talking about nobody. Talk about their shortcomings. Don't become nobody's dumping station. If I can't help you solve the problem, don't tell it to me. If I can't help you solve the problem, don't tell it to me. I'm not your dumping station. Some of y'all dumping stations. Well, some of y'all dumping stations don't even realize you're dumping stations. Let me tell you when you're a dumping station. This is when you know you're a dumping station. When somebody come and rehearse a problem to you and you keep giving them a solution and they don't want to take your solution but keep coming to you with the same problem, that means they just dumping it on you. Watch this. They dumping it on you and when they walk away, they light as a feather. Now you're going back to fasting and praying trying to get it off of you. So if you ain't planning on letting me help you, I might not have the answer. But if you ain't gonna plan on, if we not gonna walk out of this situation, I don't want to hear it. Frivolous conversation, it ain't making us no better. We just rehearsing the problem over and over. Is this making sense? See, some of y'all dump and see, you dump a station and don't even realize it. You got to learn to stop people from dumping their problems on you and walking away because you, a lot of times, and watch this, especially a person who really loves God, they'll find you and dump on you because they know you're going to pray. So now you're spending your time trying to pray that God molds them. See, people don't understand Jabez. Jabez said, Lord, bless me. See, if Lord, if you bless me, then I can be free to bless others. That's why Jabez said, Lord, bless me. This is why I'm focused on my success. Because I'm focused on my success, that means I'm free to help somebody else be successful. They ain't got anything selfish about that. The selfish is, Lord, I'm focused on my success. I want everybody else to fail. That's selfish. But it ain't selfish for you to say, Lord, bless me. Lord, I'm focused on my success. Lord, show me what I need to do. I'm so focused on my success. I'm saying this again. I'm so focused on my success that I don't have time to focus on anyone's failures or shortcomings. That is important because coworkers, family members, friends, they coming with somebody else's failures or shortcomings. Girl, you heard this. Man, did you see what he did? I don't even want to hear it. Because I'm fasting and praying. I'm getting closer to God. As I get closer to God, I ain't got time for nobody to be pulling me out. I have enough environment stimuli to deal with than to have me invite some other environment stimuli into my life. Let me explain what I mean. I got so much going on around me that's trying to stop me from massive production. I'm not about to let you add to what's trying to stop me. See, here's the thing. God is already available to you. Remember, due season. My time. My time to receive my harvest. My time to reap is based on me. It's not based on God. It's based on me. It's based on how much I'm willing to let God prepare me. How much I'm willing to let God shape me. How much I'm willing to let God mold me. It's based on, so I'm not letting any other things out of my environment add to that. Are y'all seeing this? Number three. I must persevere. I must press. We was already at Galatians 6:9, turn back there. And it said, let us not be weary in well-doing. Why should we be weary in well-doing? Go to verse 7 for me. Why shouldn't we be weary? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be not deceived. God is not your fool. Don't think you're getting away with anything. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So a lot of us being here praying for favor. Lord, give me your favor. Lord, give me your favor. Lord, I want your favor. When was that time you showed? When last time you showed favor to somebody who needed favor shown to? When last time you helped somebody without looking for something in return? That's what favor is. Favor is just special treatment. When last time you treated somebody special, gave them an opportunity to get ahead and didn't want nothing in return? God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Watch this. Go to verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? So now, watch this. Watch what I'm saying. If I hear the words massive production and I try to apply myself in some other set of instructions besides what apostle has set for us, then I'm sowing to my flesh. See, if I sow to my flesh, I'm going to reap corruption. It means I'm going to reap failure. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Everything that goes with it. All the abundance. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Go to verse 9. So now I know all this. Let me not get tired or get fed up or get frustrated with doing what I know is right. For in my season, when I'm molded and shaped properly, I'll reap, just only if I don't give up. Now hear me on this. I have to persevere. Now watch this. Persevere does not mean you're doing everything right. There's some things in your life, this is why you fast and pray. Because when you fast and pray, you get to an area in God, you get to an area in your life with God where God begins to reveal things to you that you wouldn't normally understand or see. So the reason why I have to persevere, the reason why I have to have stick-to-itiveness, the reason why I have to press is because I may go for a while and not really do everything just right. But if I persevere, then I will eventually learn and stumble across on what to do right. See, people who do nothing ain't going nowhere. See, some people doing things going in the wrong direction, but they ain't where they were. But I bet you if they keep going, eventually they're going to find out I ain't going the right direction and turn around. But people who just give up and don't do nothing ain't going nowhere and ain't going to get nothing. So how can I know if I'm going the wrong way if I ain't going? If I'm not moving forward, I never find out if I'm going in the right direction. So I cannot be weary in doing what God has called me to do. There's some things that got to be tweaked. That's why I'm fasting and praying so the potter can mold me and shape me so I can become who he wants me to become so that as I keep going, my season, watch this, I'm being molded and shaped. My season is coming toward me. See, the more, watch this, if I'm not being shaped and molded, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to go into a direction where I'm going to miss my season. Because my season is always headed toward me. As a matter of fact, God loves us so much that when we change direction, God changes the trajectory of our season. Hear what I'm saying now. Hear what I'm saying. Even when we make a mistake, God changes the trajectory of our season. Meaning, okay, he made a right turn at this 30-degree angle, so God said, I got to change this 30-degree angle so they can meet up. Maybe they'll meet up here. That's called grace. That's called mercy. So, but if I'm not moving, if I just say, oh, this stuff don't work, I'm not praying no more, I ain't fasting no more, I ain't doing this no more. I fasted for 2 days and ain't nothing happened. Well, if you fast for 2 days and ain't nothing happened, that just means you more of a rock position than you are a potter position. So you got to let God keep breaking you down until he can shape you and mold you. But I promise you, God is not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he'll make it good. He's not like man. He doesn't lie. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if you keep letting God mold you and shape you, then you will bring your season into play. Are you seeing this? You will bring your season into play. You have control over your season. In God's mind, He's already provided for everything you need. Everything you design, whatever. I mean, whatever it is, it's already there. The only reason why you don't have it is because you haven't been molded to handle it. So if I take time to be molded to handle it, the fastest way to be molded and to be shaped is by fasting and praying. Are y'all seeing this? See, so if I want massive production in my life, if I want massive production in my life, I have to adhere to number one, fasting and praying. Because when I fast and pray, it's the quickest way. It's the quickest way. That's why things happen so quick. When you go through the Bible, you see anybody who possibly laid it out for us, and he continue to lay it out for us. Anytime you see somebody fast and pray, stuff happens. I mean, Daniel was already was tight with God. But where he was going, he needed to be click tight. You can't go into no den with no lines halfway wondering, does God love me? Does he really love me? So if I want mass production, I have to fast and pray, which gives God the opportunity the quickest way possible for God to mold me and shape me. Once I'm molded and shaped, I can't let nobody come disfigure me. That's why I'm not getting those vain conversations. I'm not getting those conversations that ain't making us no better. That's why I ain't letting nobody come dump on me and just dump their problems on me and walk away. No, you hold on to your own problem. I will help you walk through your problem, but you hold on to your own problem. I got enough in my environment that I'm dealing with. Lord, I'm looking to handle. I'm looking for my success. As I find my success, it makes it easier for me to help somebody else find their success. Are you saying this? So the three things, I'm done. Three things. Number one, we have to adhere to apostles' decree, his call to fasting and praying. Number two, I have to stay away from vain, pointless, ain't going to make us better conversation. That's how I wanted to say it. It ain't going to make us no better, so why are we talking about it? Number three, I must persevere. I must press. I got to go somewhere. I got to be moving. Sometimes, I never forget, Apostle Thomas say, we be out and working, and he see somebody standing. He said, man, just don't stand there. Do something. Even if it's wrong, do something. Move. Do something. Get out of the same position. You might not move in the first direction. Your first step might not be in the right direction, but at least you're not where you was. Because where you was already in trouble. You was already doing nothing. You was already not getting what you wanted. So moving just means I move from that spot. You might move to another spot of not where you want to be, but you're not in that spot no more. In the midst of moving from spot to spot, God can mold you to show you where you need to go. But if I ain't planning on moving, I ain't planning on persevering. If I ain't planning on pressing, ain't nothing God can tell me because I ain't planning on moving. Lift your hand, be the offering envelope to us as an aisle to serve you.